let's open up to the letter of the Hebrews. It's going to be the last session on the high priest of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the qualities and the works of his nature as our great high priest. And just to be helpful, most of these will be beginning with the letter P. He's a permanent high priest, he's a perfect high priest. He was predestined to be high priest. He put away our sin, made propitiation for our sin. He's very personal towards us, and the prophecy is that he's coming again. Amen. So we'll look at all these tonight, and I hope be encouraged by the truth of it. So let's first of all look in Hebrews chapter 9 and read something there of his... chapter 7 of Hebrews, and see something there of his permanent position and permanent nature as our great high priest. Hebrews chapter 7 and verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. And you can see this is about the nature of the greatness of this new priesthood in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. He's permanent, he's continuous, he's unchanging, he's unwavering. He's there for us all the time. He's praying for us tonight, talking to the Father for us, as in any meeting. And he's acting as a high priest and intercessor for us. Unchanging, permanent. That's encouraging, isn't it? He's a perfect high priest as well. Go over to chapter 10. So he's a permanent high priest. He's a perfect high priest as well. Let's go over to chapter 10 and look at verse 19. Chapter 10, 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He is a high priest who also promises so much. There are hundreds of promises in Scripture which are encouraging to us. He's a perfect high priest. You can see what he's done. His blood was shed and he perfectly redeems us, permanently redeems us. We are secure in him in every possible way because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And in verse 20 it says, he is the new and living way. And he consecrated for us. He dedicated himself. That veil of the temple was rent in two. So the symbolism is that we can go into the holy place and we can meet with the Lord there. So we're encouraged to draw near with a full heart and a true heart, with a full assurance of faith. We can hold fast to the profession of faith. He is perfect high priest who's made everything possible for us to come to him and to be faithful. He made a promise there. Go back in chapter 9, verse 15 with me. Chapter 9, verse 15. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, the law, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. That is a permanent truth, definite. There's no question about it. We are his and we belong to him. He will never let us go. And he has called us. He called. Those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. That's your assurance. You are called to this position, this place before the Lord. And this is a promise of the Lord and that he is, in a sense. Of course, we know from the scriptures that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. So all his redeeming work was predestined even before the world was. In Ephesians chapter 1, even before the world was created, God the Father planned to send his Son for our salvation. So it's an eternal issue, planned way before anything was ever created. And bodily, wasn't it? That's in Ephesians 1:4. So he was predestined, and so were we.
Hallelujah.
So everything is foolproof.
Thank you, Lord.
Unchanging. That's our safeguard. Mm-hmm. And you can stand with boldness. I want to be bold in coming to the Lord because of your relationship with him as our great high priest. All that he's achieved for us as well. That's amazing, isn't it? We have an eternal inheritance. Would you go back, please, to Colossians? The letter to the Colossians, just a little way back. Colossians. You can see our wonderful secret place in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Let's start there and then we go to chapter 3. Colossians 1:12. We are encouraged, you see, to give thanks to the Father who has qualified us. You are qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. And we're to give thanks. He has qualified us. We didn't do anything to achieve it. We didn't do anything to buy it or purchase it or make effort for it. He qualified us by all that he did. The high priest himself, the Lamb of God, became a sacrifice. He's high priest and sacrifice. Isn't that amazing? None of the Old Testament priests or high priests could ever do that. They offered another lamb, an animal. But Jesus, our great high priest, offered himself, shed his blood for us. So we're fully qualified to be the people we are, which will never change. Called, ordained to that. He qualified us to be partakers because we're hence joint heirs with Christ. Mm. He's got half and we've got half. Yeah. Joint heirs. Huh? Wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. The eternal inheritance and millennial inheritance as well with every other believer. And verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us or translated us, bring us into another realm of life altogether, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. How more secure can you be than that? Yes. Wonderful, isn't it? Over to chapter 3, same letter, Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 24. You've got the word inheritance there. Colossians 3, verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord, that's where it comes from, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It's reward for faithful living down here. From the Lord, he'll give it to you. You'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Yeah, that's an encouragement to go on serving the Lord, isn't it?
Is that for the millennium time, is it?
Yes, it will be. As well as now, but yes, in the millennium, but certainly now as well. So there you see, that is something that the Lord has promised regarding a glorious inheritance, eternal life, and serving the Lord. The heavenly experience, the new Jerusalem, the millennial earth, new heaven. That's your inheritance. It mind's boggling. Everything is yours. Christ is yours. So that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Going on to Hebrews again, we'll stay there for a while. Look in chapter 9, because here, there's another way of putting it. For you to enter into that glorious inheritance of eternal life and to be joined here with Christ and ruling with him down here in the millennium, that's an amazing thing. Kings and priests unto God on the earth. But he has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put it away as far as east is from the west. Chapter 9 and verse 26. He's talking about other priests, of course, before that. But it says, you know, all the other priests. You look in verse 25. The high priest entered the most holy place every year with the blood of another. Jesus Christ entered into the Holy of Holies with his own blood. Of course, if he had to do this repeatedly, he then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. No. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin. Hallelujah. He's put it away. As far as east is from the west, you can't measure that distance. It's immeasurable. Your transgressions, your sins have been blotted out like a thick cloud to be remembered no more. He's put them away. Right away. Cancelled out. Forgotten. As well as forgiven. That's a wonderful assurance, isn't it? He put away sin by the sacrifice himself. That's a real propitiation, putting away sin. Look in chapter 10 in the next chapter. Chapter 10, 11 and 12. He speaks about the Old Testament priests, of course, in chapter 10, verse 11. Every priest stands ministering daily, offered repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Of course they couldn't. They had to be repeated. All he did was to appease God's anger against sin. But this man is humanity, you see. After he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. Sat down means I've done all the work I came to do. The priest never sat down. There's no chairs in the holy place. They never sat down. They kept going on and on and on and on and on by the sacrifice.
True.
Oh, yeah.
What Christ accomplished.
Absolutely, yeah. That's true. Like the Old Testament situation. It's exactly that. You've got priests and people separated by an altar.
It's worse because they're saying they're actually fine.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Christ
that's what it is.
Time.
Hebrews says that's condemned in chapter 5 or 6, yeah. Thank you for that, yeah. So he's certainly one who is also promised priest to come back again. You know John 14, don't you? Well, let's go back anyway. John chapter 14. says he's going to prepare a place for us, and he will come back for us and take us to be with himself. John 14, 2 and 3, you know them ever so well. Someone like to read those two, please. John 14, 2 and 3.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there may be.
Wonderful, there you go. He's gone to prepare a place for you and for me. Glorious. All part of our inheritance, of course. See how personal he is?
Yeah.
A personal promise to you individually. It's for you individually. He knows your name. We know him as our shepherd. Mm-hmm. He knows us. We know his voice. He knows us as well. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly true. There's another word too. Sorry, a bit of a wrong word. The word is propitiation. Let's go to 1 John. John's letter. First letter. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Propitiation simply means an atoning cover. An atoning cover. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world, because he died for sin, full stop. He himself is a propitiation. He's the atoning cover. You are covered by him. If you have a car, you can't go out on the road until you're covered by insurance. Mm. You can't go to heaven until your sins are covered and removed.
Mm.
Then you're free to be there.
Chapter 4, verse 10 is the same, isn't it?
Yeah, read it out, please, Colin.
In this is love, not that we love God, but... Mm. Not that we love God, mm. but that he loved us and sent his son to be the, mm. what that word is?
Propitiation. Propitiation. An atoning cover, you could have said that if you had.
You were just testing.
Atoning cover, yeah, that's right. So that really is remarkable, isn't it? It's all the Lord Jesus Christ is. Go back to chapter 7. Again, when I said that he's a permanent and eternal high priest, go back to chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. It's a very simple study tonight, really. Chapter 7 of Hebrews. I'm into Revelation last night. No, they're in chapter 7 of Revelation, not me. Yes, Hebrews 7. And let's look at verse 21, second part of verse 21. And I've got the New King James. Now, I know you get subheadings and they're not inspired. But the greatness of the high priest. Oh, yes, amen to that. Mm. Verse 21. It says in verse 21, we're talking about the other priests. When he says, second part of the verse 21, the Lord has sworn, that's the Father. See the capital letters, Yahweh, the Father? The Lord, his Father, has sworn and will not relent. He's not going to change his mind or turn back on it. You are a priest forever.
Amen.
There's his permanence, according to the order of Melchizedek, which we've already looked at. That's how he's a high priest forever. Verse 28, the Lord poses as appoints high priests back in the past, men who had weakness. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. Mm. He entered into humanity to identify with us, go to the cross to deal with sin as a man, but the God-man never gave up his deity, and as a result of that, he can be our perfect high priest, ascended, glorified. You'll meet the high priest in the air, maybe soon, we don't know. But he's a high priest. And the wonderful thing is that if you go back to chapter 8, or go forward to chapter 8, verse 1, here's his humanity. This is the main point of things we're saying. So there's a focus on important things. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens.
Yeah.
That's where he is. He sat down at the Father's side on the throne, his Father's throne. His throne is in the earth, David's throne. That's a finished work. And this is what it said, the main point of what we're saying. He has achieved total victory for us. Okay. And we follow him, and we shall follow him into heaven.
Hallelujah.
We should be taken up there, in fact. And that's important. He is seated as our high priest, seated in the highest place of all authority, as God the Son, sitting by God the Father.
Praise God.
A marvelous security. He became a high priest. He wasn't high priest before he came here. He had to go through everything, including that wonderful personal interceding prayer of John 17, which is really the high priest prayer. He prayed for his own, all those who will believe in his name, acting as a high priest, even before his death, shortly before he could pray like that. So he now, if you go back to chapter 7, verse 22, while we're there, verse 22, by so much more than the Old Testament sacrifice, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant, a certainty, absolutely unchangeable, better covenant through his precious blood. Not the blood of animals repeating to be shed. Guarantee, a surety, a guarantee, absolute guarantee. Just while we think about guarantees, would you go back to Ephesians chapter 1? Think about guarantees. Well, that's prompted my mind on that one. In chapter 1, glorious, these first three chapters are glorious teachings. Chapter 4 to 6 about the applying our teaching to life. But in chapter 1, he says in verse 13 and 14 of Ephesians 1, he speaks in verse 12 about those who first trusted in Christ. In him you also trusted, these Ephesians and us. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, now see the order, there was a word of truth, the gospel, you heard, you believed. That's the order for us. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee, like that word surety. He's the guarantee, unbreakable, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That guarantee is offered to us continually, permanently, now while we're here, until we're with him. And then it continues forever anyway. Yes, a guarantee. We are a purchased possession. Of course we are. To the praise of his glory. And that goes on until the final redemption when we've got a new body. We are by the blood. Which means we don't belong to ourselves. The word is servant, but the strong word in the Greek, doulos, means slave, slave of Jesus Christ, but a willing one, not an enforced one, but a willing one. But that's sober thinking as well, isn't it? So it's wonderful. He gave his sacrifice for all, and he obtains a better covenant for us. So right through Hebrews, he produces a better covenant, better promises, a better sacrifice, a better blood, a better high priest. Everything about the Lord Jesus is better than anything of the Old Testament. As a high priest, no one to replace him. The high priest needed to be replaced. When they died, they were replaced. He intercedes. He ever lives for me, for all the church, his redeemed body. That's just a thought that we have about him being all I want to say this evening. A lot to meditate on, really. It doesn't have to be long, does it?
No. Well, you've got a lot on tomorrow as well, Don, haven't you?
So. Well, that's all right, but I didn't do that on purpose. It's just this is quite sufficient, really.
No, that's lovely, Don. Thank you very much.
He's a permanent high priest, a perfect high priest. Pardon?
There's a lot to feed on.
Well, just think of those titles again. He's a permanent high priest. He's a perfect high priest. He purged our sins. Our conscience is purged. He's predestined to be a high priest. He's a promised high priest. He's put away sin. He's our propitiation. He's personal to us all. And he made a promise to come back. All peace. So it's easy to remember, Brad. So there we are.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much.